Lovely words. We're going to turn in our Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. We're going to read from verse 20 through to the end of the chapter. Matthew 11 and verse 20. Then began he to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you, that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Amen. We know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. We're turning in our Bibles once again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And in the final three verses of that chapter, we read these familiar words. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We're going to have prayer. Let's just take a moment to seek the Lord and ask the Lord for his help. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for these lovely hymns we've been singing tonight. We thank thee we could sing about the cross, the story of Christ, of his love and his death, and of his resurrection and his grace for sinners. Lord, what a marvelous story, and what a great message we have to tell. And we pray for grace to tell it again. And O God, we ask that thou would give help to the preacher, and give help to the hearer. And, O God, we pray that there'll be those tonight who'll hear to the salvation of their souls. Lord, save young people in this meeting house. Redeem their lives from destruction. Save them to live a life of service for Christ, that they might spend and be spent for thee, instead of spending their lives and wasting it on the things of the world, and then at the end to reap eternal dungeon and judgment and damnation. O gracious God, we pray, thou'd help them to be wise, that their eyes might be opened, that they might see the grace of God in Christ, that they might behold the Lamb of God and see Him taking their room and taking their stead at the cross, suffering in their place and suffering for their sin. And grant, O God, that like the publican, they'll smite their breast and say, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. And grant, O God, that this night they will turn away from their sin to Christ and find in Him their all in all. Lord, bless, we pray, the preaching of Thy word. Solemnize all our hearts and do us good, because we ask it in our Savior's name. Amen. It may be that the most frequent and personal invitations that we receive are to attend what would be happy occasions such as weddings or maybe some other sort of important celebration, maybe a birthday party or an anniversary of some kind. And oftentimes we receive invitations to these very happy events and occasions. And it's always a pleasure to be on the guest list of such events and of such people. There are, however, many other exclusive events which are held, such as royal occasions, to which many of us will never be invited, and perhaps we can never expect to be invited. Maybe some of you who are more fortunate might well be invited, and maybe you have been invited on some royal occasions. In the verse that we have before us tonight, this scriptural verse opens with a great invitation. It says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Here we discover that the Lord Jesus Christ has given an open invitation that beats all other kinds of invitations. It beats royal invitations. It beats party invitations. It beats wedding invitations. It beats anniversary invitations. Because here is an open invitation by the Lord Jesus Christ to come unto Him. Now, what caused the Lord Jesus Christ to give such an invitation? Well, I believe that, first of all, He saw the pressing need of mankind. He saw the need of sinners. He beheld them as He looked over Jerusalem from the Mount of Olives, as sheep having no shepherd. And we're told He was moved with compassion, and He saw them as those without a Savior, and He called them many times, saying, how often would I have called thee together, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. And that is a terrible indictment against the people of Jerusalem. Those words, ye would not. My friend, perhaps this similar indictment can be issued against some in this meeting house. Because up until now, it has to be said, ye will not come unto me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. And so we saw the pressing needs of men and women and of young people. They were walking the streets. They were visiting the houses. They were going about their work. They were enjoying their pleasures. They were doing their different things. But they were without God. They were without hope. And they were without Christ. And the Savior's heart was moved, and He had compassion on the lost. And therefore tonight, we have a great open invitation. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Jesus sees that people need something that only he can give. Oh yes, they had material things. They were rushing about through the mad throng, getting their things for daily living. They could go to the shops and buy their needs. But Jesus saw a need that only he could meet, and only he could give. And therefore, he invites the people to come to him. And my friend, as the Lord Jesus Christ looks down upon us and sees our gathering here, he sees the need of your heart, and he sees a need that only he can meet and only he can solve. Thank God tonight, out of the riches of the infinite mercy of Christ, all our needs are met in his grace, his pardon, and his forgiveness. Some people have a strong sense of need because it says here, they labor and are heavy laden. And perhaps they're laboring and are heavy laden for many different reasons. It may be that for some of them, they have mounting problems and they cannot see a way through them. Jesus calls them to himself. And he says, "Come unto me." The Lord Jesus can meet the need. Maybe you're here tonight and your problems are mounting. It may be that you're still in your sin and the sin problems in your life are mounting. And the chains that tie the sinner are becoming more binding. And you're becoming more and more involved in the clutches of the evil one. And the Lord Jesus Christ sees the need of your heart. He sees the need of your soul. He sees those problems which are increasing all the while. And he also sees that for as far as you're concerned, there's no way out of them. You cannot break the habit. You cannot break the chains. You cannot extricate yourself. And thank God, Jesus Christ is the answer to the need of your heart this evening. He sees it, he knows it, and he issues the invitation, "Sinner, come unto me." That's what he's saying. "Backslider, come unto me. Poor, guilty one, come unto me. Heavy, burdened, and laden with sin," he would say, "sinner, come unto me." Thank God his blood is able to cleanse. Thank God that blood is still flowing and it's still powerful. And praise God tonight. Every sinner who plunges neath that flood will lose their guilty stains. The Lord Jesus Christ sees the inner turmoil of the heart. He sees the inner strugglings of the soul. He sees the inner concerns of the mind, and he knows that you, my friend, cannot find an answer to such. And that's why there's an open invitation in the Word of God, in the Gospel of grace, and the Lord Jesus Christ extends that invitation, and he says, "Come unto me, ye sinner. I will give you rest. You're struggling. You're burdened, you're heavy laden, and sin is getting you down. Your problems are mounting. Your inner turmoil is increasing." The Lord Jesus Christ looks again into your heart, and he sees that there's no way of getting rid of the guilt that is there in your soul. He knows there's guilt on your soul. There's guilt on your heart. There's guilt on your conscience. There's guilt on your mind. The Lord Jesus Christ knows it. He sees you toiling with it. He sees you struggling with it. And my dear friend tonight, this same Jesus opens up the invitation and he says, come unto me, I will give you rest. What a transformation will take place in the heart of the struggling sinner, laboring and heavy burdened, finding rest by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ sees all the disappointed hopes in your life. He sees that you have no one else to turn to. There's no one else you can turn to. Friends have failed. Others have let you down. No one can save you from your difficulties and from your sins and from your waywardness. Praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ is the one to turn to. He's the one to come to. He's the one to cry out unto. And praise God tonight if you cry unto him, even call upon his name, the Bible promises you will be saved. You'll be delivered. You'll be born again. You'll be made a child of God. Life, maybe for you tonight, seems to be one long battle. One minute you're winning, and the next minute you're losing. One day you are on top, but the next day you're swamped by all the habits of your life and by all the evils and the sins of the day. Oh, my dear friend, it's one long battle. The Lord Jesus Christ calls you the defeated sinner to himself. And you may experience the victory of Christ in your life, the triumph of grace in your soul, that you might be brought to a knowledge of what it means to be saved and to be in Christ and enjoying the peace and the victory that he alone can give you. My dear friend, tonight he calls you. Many people tonight have a strong sense of need, laboring under heavy laden. But the Lord Jesus Christ can give you rest. Others, perhaps, and they have very little sense of need. Maybe no sense at all of need. You're just cushioned from all the disappointments and blows of life. And yet it is true that the Lord Jesus Christ calls you still to himself. You have the same pressing need in your heart, and you need to be aroused and awakened, and you need to be disturbed from your slumber of death and your sleep of iniquity, and you need to recognize that you have a need in your heart, you have a need in your soul, and that if you die as you are, you'll perish. You'll be in a lost sinner's hell. And friend, you need to be disturbed. You may have little sense of need. May God cause you to see your need and to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may be chasing after satisfaction in life. You may be chasing after the things of the world. You may be living for those things which the Bible speaks about as fleeting and passing. The Bible asks a very important question. It says, what is your life? Remember, it also gives the answer to that question. It says, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. My friend, now in these spring, summer mornings, we rise up to the sunshine. And we look out into the valleys, mostly, and we see the mists and the haze. And we know then that perhaps it's going to be a better day. But when the sun gets higher in the sky and warmer, Very soon the mists that you viewed earlier are no longer to be seen. Like a vapor, it passeth away. Your life's like that. We're here today and perhaps gone tomorrow. I was attending a funeral this week of a man of 47 years of age who just dropped dead last Sunday. And in a short time, he was in eternity. My friend, if that had been you, where would you be today? What if the brittle thread of your life should snap suddenly and you couldn't find your breath anymore and your little life ebbs away and it'll never return? And neither will the opportunities the gospel has given you return. Tell me, my friend, where will you be in eternity? An open invitation. It's right here in God's word. And Jesus says, come unto me. Will you come tonight? Or will you harden your heart? Will you close your eyes and shut your ears? And will you say, I'm not going to have this man to reign over my life. I'll live my own life. I'll do my own thing. I'll enjoy my own pleasures. I'll take my chance. My friend, what an awful chance to take. Because it's not a chance at all, it's a certainty. Because if you die as you are, it's not a chance, it's a certainty. You'll go to hell and be lost if you die as you are. And so therefore, we emphasize that this invitation is open, and whosoever will may come and drink the water of life and drink it freely. Underneath, in many lives, underneath all the outward facade and all the outward veneer and all the outward enjoyment of this world, there is often more than a suspicion that all is not well and that one is missing out on the very best that life has to offer. Tell me, is that a description of you? Jesus identified the pressing need as that of our souls not being at rest. A man may have money. He may have possessions. He may have pleasure. He may have everything going for him in this life. And yet, he may not have rest in his heart. He may not have rest in his soul. He may not have peace in his mind. And there are many like that today. No amount of pleasure, no amount of possessions, no amount of pursuits in this life will answer the need of the heart, will bring peace to the soul. The Bible reveals that it is sin and disobedience towards God that is at the root of all our problems and is the reason why we cannot find rest. And oh, my friend, Jesus said, I am come not to judge the world, but to save the world. And my friend tonight, if you're longing for pardon, and you're longing for peace, and you're longing for rest, and you're longing for assurance, and you're longing to know that it's well with your soul, that it's well for heaven, that it's well for eternity, then tonight, there is an open invitation. It's offered in the Scriptures, and Christ Himself speaks it. Come unto me. Will you come to Him? Will you let Him draw you? Will you let Him woo you tonight? Will you hear His call? Will you respond and turn from sin to Christ? And be like that wee sinner up the tree, Zacchaeus. And come down, humble yourself. Do away with the pride of sin. and take your station at the feet of Christ and humbly confess your need and trust him as your own and as your personal Savior. Thank God the Lord Jesus Christ is come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The Lord Jesus Christ made this open invitation because he saw the pressing need of men and of women, young people and boys and girls. You notice it is a personal invitation. Jesus says, "Come unto me." Jesus Christ issues his invitation in a most gracious way here. You'll notice that he calls tenderly. He says, "Come unto me." Jesus calls us to himself in a way a parent would call a troubled child to his or her arm for comfort and for help. I'm sure you've seen a child cry, and a child in trouble, and a child greatly distressed. And you've seen the father, the mother, reaching out its hand and stretching out its arm and calling that little one and going to it and throwing his or her arm around it and comforting it on the arm and towards the breast. And my dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ calls tenderly. He's calling you tonight. And he's tenderly saying, "Come." Oh, are you listening to that tender voice? Are you listening to that tender call? Are you understanding the tone of the Savior's voice? And will you respond to what the Lord Jesus says? And will you come? Will you be like blind Bartimaeus when Jesus was passing by Jericho on his way to Jerusalem, and he was passing by for the last and final time, and he stopped, knowing the need of one man amidst the entire crowd, and the Lord Jesus Christ called for him to come? And what do we read? He cast away his garment and he came to Christ. And then we read, he followed Jesus in the way. That's a good dose of salvation. That's what we need tonight. That's what men and women need today. A dose of God's salvation that will change their lives, bring them out of blindness into sight, from darkness into light, from the way it's going to hell to go to heaven, and to follow Jesus day by day in the way. Far too many don't follow on to know Jesus Christ. They turn back into the beggarly elements of the world. Therefore, in the first instance, there never has been a work of grace done in the heart in many instances. My friend, make sure the work that's done in your soul is real. Don't be depending on a false profession, living in a backslidden state, so-called, depending on a past decision. My friend, give up your sin, and praise God, you shall win. A never-failing friend, one who's tenderly calling and saying, "Come, come, come unto me." Can you hear that tender voice speak? Then you'll notice he offers lovingly as well. For what does it say? He says, "Take my yoke." The Lord knows our need, and he knows how to solve that need. The Savior lovingly offers to exchange the burden that we bear for one that is easy and is light. Oh, the heavy burden of sin, the weight that sin brings and causes in our hearts. The Lord knows that his offer of help will be for our good and our advantage. He has become our Savior from sin by his death on the cross, by his sufferings at Calvary, by the shedding of his precious blood. That's how he has become our Savior. My friend, the Lord Jesus Christ died that we might be forgiven, that we might go at last to heaven, saved by his precious blood. He suffered. He agonized. He bled on that tree, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for mine iniquities. The chastisement of my peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. You notice the Lord Jesus here counsels the people. Counseling is big business today, not just in the political realm, but in church situations nowadays, and especially in America. Churches pay counselors full time to counsel people, to give advice. My friend, will I tell you something? There's no greater counselor in all the world, in heaven or hell or earth. Mind you, the devil gives counsel, but it's a dastardly counsel. There's no greater counsel anywhere than the counsel of Christ, heavenly counsel, here upon earth for sinners like you and me. And here he counsels wisely. He says, learn of me. Learn of me. Have you learned the lesson? Have you learned the lesson of your sin? Or are you going blindedly on, committing the same sins day after day? The Lord Jesus Christ would want you to first of all learn the lesson of your sin and your need, and then to learn of him. Learn about him. Who is he? He is the Son of God. Learn about his person. He is holy and harmless and undefiled. And yet he became sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. He is the Lord from glory, who gave himself at Calvary. Learn of him. Learn about his coming into the world. Learn about his sinless life. Learn about his atoning death, his resurrection, his coming again. Learn about Christ. Learn of me. My, when we come to him first as a sinner, then we're learning ever after. Learning on Christ, leaning on him, and learning about him day after day until he calls us home. We'll never cease to learn more about Jesus. Oh, are you learning of him tonight? And are you leaning upon him? Jesus invites you to come and to allow him to teach you and to show you yourself, show you the need of your heart, show you your sin, and show you the cross, and point you to the way to heaven. Oh, will you learn of Christ tonight? Thank God. He is meek and lowly in heart. Oh, he's a lovely teacher. He's a good teacher. He's not going to upbraid the repenting sinner. No, he stretches out a hand instead of mercy and of love and grace and compassion. And he will forgive. He's not going to bring out the big stick and chastise a repenting sinner. No, thank God, he'll pardon that sinner and make that sinner his child. Oh, what a wise, tender, and loving offer he's making tonight. And he's making it to you. And you'll notice the perfect result here. He says, you'll find rest unto your souls. What a result. What a perfect gift. What a perfect result. Peace with God. Oh, there's no rest to compare with this. There's no peace to compare with this. The Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that peace with God mean? What does justification mean? Somebody defined justification just as if I'd never sinned. And that's what it's like. The moment we come to Christ, he justifies us, and we stand before God as though we had never sinned. All our sins forgiven, blotted out, washed away, never again to be remembered against us. Thank God for so great salvation. Thank God for such abundant pardon. Thank God for an open invitation. And again, in closing, I repeat the words of Christ. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And what security you will find resting your soul in Christ.